Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for giving us this great exhortation, Lord, that we know is going to help a lot of people and save some lives even. So, Father, we ask that you anoint us to share this and anoint the ears to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yes, this is very, very important, I feel. We called it Patriotic News Junkie Spirit Kills. And got several revelations here on it. All came at the same time, like the Lord does with us. And of course, nobody knows what the other people are getting, so it's a really strong confirmation. This first one is from Eve Brass on 6/9/20. Eve said this dream really disturbed her, and when I read it, it disturbed me too. I pray we all pay a lot of attention to this and do something with it, not keep going back to the problem and returning when you get convicted and going back. If God ever said something is wrong, it's wrong. It's still wrong. You need to pay attention the first time so you don't bring a lot of judgment on you, right? Amen. So anyway, as I read this one, I was putting my notes in it as I read. And I realized the closer I got to the bottom that my interpretation was the same as hers. So, anyway, it appears that the Lord is giving us a last warning to those who are receiving this news junkie political seed, that they're being separated from his kingdom. I get a steady flow of this stuff in the elders' box, and a lot of it I don't read. I kind of look at the titles, and if I feel good, I read some of it, and if not, I don't. But some of it I use to pray and change things, and I bring them to the attention of our morning prayer meeting. We pray against them or pray for them or whatever's necessary. Really, there's only one thing that's really necessary, and that is to seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I believe that the bride will do this. Okay? A lot of other people will get distracted from the very valuable prize, right? So I'm praying that you hear this, and I'm sure it's correct. He said, I dreamed this morning that I was standing a few feet in front of a brother. He was in a relationship with Goldie Hawn. The brother here represents those who sow the seed of the sins that are represented here. And Goldie represents those receiving the seed of this sin. Okay? Goldie Hawn, Eve said, was raised in the Jewish religion. And I thought as I meditated on this a little bit that it's representing falling away from the type which represents the church or the people of God. And she worked as a professional dancer before going into acting. And I thought on this is an entertainer who acts out a lie by pretending to be someone or do something. We're programmed by the things that we put into our mind. Our future is changed by the things that we put into our mind. What you sow, you reap, and what you sow into your mind or permit to be sown into your mind is going to change your future. And if it's a total distraction from the important things, then you have wasted your life. All right? And Eve puts, Goldie means made of gold. And Hahn is a German surname. The only meaning I could find for Hahn is that it's sometimes used to refer to a Hawaiian. The thought came to me when I read this was that Hahn could represent Hawaiian national. Don't know if that's true. But anyway, she has a free dictionary revelation here concerning that. This reminded me of the dream I had of a Hawaiian senator in the left mobile home, which was the faction, the leftists, the goats, right, who was begging for another chance and asking what he was going to do and was told by the big boss, you know who he is, right, over the phone that it was too late. I want to tell you, the leadership of the left mobile home, it's too late for some of them. And these dreams have all come to pass, you know, or else they were warnings of something that needed to be done, so they didn't come to pass. So, concerning these people, you see. And she went on to say, Goldie represents those who worship the golden image in Babylon, or America. And, of course, those people are part of that image of the beast. They don't know it, but their beastly actions marked in their hand and forehead represent the works in the mind of the beast, of the flesh. That's right. You know, the mind of the beast is just flesh. Everybody that walks in the flesh is a member of its body. It's just as simple. If we walk by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh, right? The Father was standing to my right and a little behind me. Even though I was not able to look upon him directly, I could see him in my mind through my spiritual eyes through the top of my head. He was like 8 feet tall and had white hair and a white beard. And he was big like a giant to my perception. Well, amen. No argument there. The brother and Goldie were both holding on to something with their arms in front of them. Goldie was holding a stone statue of some sort of bird of prey that looked like an eagle, with its head turned to the side and its wings spread out at its sides. Well, we've seen that before, haven't we? That's the eagle of Babylon, America, apostate America, deep state America. So, my thought was studying U.S. politics as a patriot at the expense of the spiritual man, because you're doing that if you're digging into all this all the time instead of putting the seed of the word in your heart, which is Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And we're not patriots to the United States, but to the supernatural, meaning above the natural. The kingdom of God is above the natural. Why not study the kingdom of God? You will rule over this. You can do nothing otherwise. And as Christians worldwide, we are only one race and belong to only one nation. But we are as sojourners and we reside in our individual worldly nations and must spiritually come out from among them. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are an elect race. The chosen race. There's only one chosen race. Let me say, some may not understand this, but you are Jews circumcised according to the Spirit of God. Cut off of flesh according to the Spirit of God. You are an elect race. You are a spiritual Jew, right? They were a type and a shadow in the natural of what is true in the spiritual in our covenant. Okay. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, just one holy nation. We worldwide Christians are only one holy nation. We don't pledge allegiance to any other nation. And we don't have to pledge allegiance to our nation because God, who is the only one that turns hairs white or black, decides this. And we just, we walk with Him and ask for His grace every day. We can't promise anything in ourselves or from ourselves. We put our trust in Him, right? You are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness, which is this political news junkie spirit, right, into His marvelous light. And he said the brother was holding a huge transfusion bag of blood that was about a third of his body length in front of his torso. He was gripping it at the bottom with his right hand and supporting at the bottom with his left hand. He was gripping it at the top with his right hand and supporting it at the bottom with his left hand. It was heavy and cumbersome, and he was struggling to support its weight. Well, the life, which is the meaning of nature, the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? It's a heavy weight. It's a heavy burden. Leviticus 17:11. This is why we're exhorted not to partake of the blood of beasts, spiritually speaking. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And Ecclesiastes 3:19 says, "For that which befalleth the sons of men," are you going to be a son of God or a son of men? Well, you have to study God if you want to be a son of God, right? Not men. "That which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath." And that's the same word for spirit. They have one spirit. "And man hath no preeminence above the beasts." I'm sorry to tell you this, but so many people lie about this. It's just the truth. Lost man is no higher than the lost beasts. Right? "For all is vanity," Solomon said. When we drink the blood of the Lamb through the Scriptures, we come into Jesus' image. If we drink the blood of beasts by studying man too much, we become patriotic and we lose out on what God offers us as sons of God, and we don't bear fruit. And Eve went on to share, "The bag of blood had a label on it with the blood type of the donor, and the bag was hooked into his vein and was transfusing him. I knew in the dream that this blood was incompatible with the brother, and I knew it wasn't what he needed." You better believe it. I mean, the only thing you can get from men is not born again from above, right? Our hunger should be for the good news, not the bad news. The good news is the power of God to save the one that believes it. We all need the full manifestation of our salvation, but it don't come from reading the bad news all day. I asked him why he was carrying it around and why he didn't just get rid of it. Well, Eve here, I believe, is representing the bride, and this opinion represents the bride's opinion of politics and patriotism and so on, which infects all nations and causes wars between them. You know, probably politics and patriotism have killed as many people as religion has, if you stop and think about what religion has done throughout the world and is still doing. Religion is killing people. There's some religions that they never stop killing. That's all they got on their mind is to kill. And they kill each other more than anybody else kills them. Well, patriotism does that too. They all pledge allegiance to their country or their nationality or their religion. And so they end up killing other people. So anyway, this causes an appetite for war in the flesh. You study all this stuff that's going on right now between the right and the left, and you'll get frustrated and angry. You'll, you know, have an appetite for war, even though you may not do it. You're thinking it in your mind, but as a man thinketh in his head, so is he, right? In his mind, so is he. James 4 and 1 says, whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? You can feel that when you study all that stuff. It makes you frustrated and angry. Why these people are so ignorant and why they're so stupid. Yes. Yeah, you have those thoughts? And it tells you where it comes from. It says, you lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, and you have not because you ask not. Look how simple it is. All you've got to do as a son of God is to ask. Not jump in with one side or the other, right? Not jump in and fight against these poor leftist fools, you know? Okay? This appetite to fight in the flesh is not of God's kingdom. It's a lust of the flesh. John 18 and 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Notice that. He said, resist not him that's evil. Love your enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use you. On and on and on and on. Turn the other cheek, you know. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So if God says you shouldn't even fight to deliver Jesus from the Jews, the most valuable thing on the whole face of the earth, what about all the other little non-significant things that you fight over? Right. Well, notice, our kingdom is not of this world. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. You know what kind of imaginations you get when you feed on that garbage all day long? That's right. And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. Now we know it's against the knowledge of God. You can't do both. You can't think on this stuff all day and think about the knowledge of God. And bringing every thought into captivity, that is all these thoughts that are contrary to God, and casting down these vain imaginations and these strongholds, right? To the obedience of Christ, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full, how is your obedience ever going to be made full so that you can rightly judge if all you're doing is feeding on this garbage all day long? And how often do we have to renew our minds with the Word of God? It's not like you can read it one time and have it down in there, right? He went on to say, but he wouldn't hear of getting rid of it. A lot of people won't. It's an addiction, a strong addiction. He insisted that it was his assurance and that it would keep him safe and protected. He used it as some kind of a shield. Well, let me say that hiding under the blood covering of Jesus is our security, but being a mainlining news junkie will destroy Christ in us. Romans 16 and 19 says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. So here's a people that would obey right here. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. There it is. You know, we've talked about how that they judge false dollar bills. They judge them by comparing them to the real dollar bill. Because you can't study enough false dollar bills to know all false dollar bills. It's not possible. This is a new thing every time it comes out. Okay? But you can know the real dollar bill so well that when you look at a false dollar bill, you know it's false. So you see, we need to study the good news, which is the power of God unto salvation, not the bad news, which makes one bitter and angry and unforgiving and judgmental, which causes one to war in the flesh, either with their mouth or with their guns. All right? This made the father very angry at the brother, and I watched as father reached out and touched the bag of blood, rebuking the brother with his words for trusting in a false thing and his own works of self-justification. The blood began to boil inside the bag and turned into acid going through the brother's veins. He immediately began to writhe in severe pain as the acid blood ate him up from the inside, and he perished right there in front of me. She said, this was horrible to watch. I just couldn't believe this was happening to him. And I was afraid of our father because of his anger. I had never seen his judgment executed so swiftly and with absolute finality. You know, we have been warned of this patriotic news junkie spirit too much to ignore God. Proverbs 29 and 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So you see, it's dangerous. God is speaking to us here. He is saying this is dangerous. He said, immediately, father turned to Goldie Hawn. And that is those who received the man's seed, right? And also rebuked her for her idolatry. He touched the eagle in her arms, and it began to burn like coal, and it turned black. And guess what? It's burning now, isn't it? Yes, it is. At the hands of the anarchists, it's burning. And we haven't seen the end of that either. The blackness and burning spread to her hands, works, and arms, and she began to burn and turn black also. She turned into dust and ash, and father sent a gust of howling wind and blew her away. And her note on this is, those who refuse to give up their idols of politics and patriotism and idolatry with the beast of Babylon will be judged swiftly now. Yes, and churches on the left and the right are being burned. Wonder what symbolism that is, right? Eve said, I was horrified and shocked at these judgments and how swiftly they were executed by the father. It didn't seem like he was giving any more time or chances to those who refused to listen to me. Well, why did she say that? Well, God has sent many warnings through Eve about this news junkie spirit. And people keep going back to it, you know. She has a note here. She says, not that I am anything, But I understood in the dream that Father was at my side to judge those who refused to listen to warnings or words of wisdom and discernment that I told them. I believe I'm representing the body of the bride, and the Father is standing at the bride's right hand now to bring swift and absolute judgment upon all those who refuse to listen to the wisdom and the warnings from the mouths of the first fruits. Well, amen. I agree with that completely. And many have ignored these words, gone back to doing what they were doing before. I mean, a temporary restraint and then turning back like a dog to vomit, right? And the Lord is not going to put up with it. It's too late to be doing this now. She said, I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on simple in Proverbs 9 and 4. And she gives 1 through 18 here, Proverbs 9, 1 through 18 for context. Wisdom hath builded her house. We know who wisdom is. He's Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And Jesus Christ is also the Word of God. Where do you get wisdom that causes you to overcome this world and live in the kingdom of God, right? You get it from the Word, right? Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Those are the attributes of Christ, right? She hath killed her beasts. There you go. Killed her beasts. It could be the red beast or the blue beast. It makes no difference. They'll both kill you. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine, which is blood. There you go. There's the blood right there. She hath mingled her wine. That's the blood of Jesus. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple. In other words, ignorant of the wisdom of God, right? Let him turn in hither. As for him that is void of understanding, she saith unto him, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine. This is the same thing Jesus said, right? And the wine, of course, represents the blood, right? Amen. So, which I have mingled. Leave off, you simple ones, and live. Now, there's a lot of simple among God's people. They don't study the things that will cause them to grow up in Jesus and be what this earth needs, right? And live and walk in the way of understanding. We're talking about the way of understanding here. He that correcteth a scoffer getteth to himself reviling. Yes, you can go out there and, I mean, they're doing it. I'm watching them politically correct one another and correcting people that are brain dead. I mean, they have the stupid demons, okay? But it doesn't make any difference because the person correcting is dead too. They both go to the same place. Why would you study one? There's neither one of them have the Word of God coming out of their mouth. Nor do they have the opinions of God, nor do they have the nature of God. So they're both going to the same place. Right? Why study these political groups, peoples, you know? He that correcteth a scoffer gets to himself reviling. So he's entered into a war here, right? Do you want to enter into that war? Better not. And he that reproveth a wicked man getteth himself a blot. True. It happens all the time. Reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Yep, you want to correct somebody that is able to be, is humble enough to be corrected. You're wasting your time to do it with these demon-possessed people. You're wasting your time. Or the patriotic people. You're still wasting your time. Reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, if you've heard these past exhortations that we've given concerning these things, this is understanding. This is a wisdom. This is not something to turn away from when you get tired of it and back to the sow that's wallowing in the mire, right? For by me, that is the wisdom of God, thy days shall be multiplied. Look, it'll save your life. For by me, the wisdom of God, thy days shall be multiplied. The years of thy life shall be increased. So where is the safety? See, they thought the safety, the man thought the safety was in these things he was studying. No, this is the safety right here. The years of thy life shall be increased, just as the Lord pointed out in this vision. If thou art wise, thou art wise for thyself. And if thou scoffest, thou alone shalt bear it. No group is going to save you. The foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. And she sitteth at the door of her house. This is the opposite of wisdom here now. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. You want the high places of the city? Look out across the city and look at the high places. You know what they are? They're pointed up there at the top. Kind of like a dunce cap, you know? To call to them that pass by, who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. That is simple of the foolishness, you know. Turn in hither. And as for him that is void of understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet. The bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. Yep, them high places are full of dead people. That her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Study the word. If you're going to church and you're not getting the word, it's not a church. I asked for a word for the brother and the bag of blood by faith at random, and my finger was on drink in the concordance under Amos 4 and 1. And 1 through 6 for context. Drink. What are we supposed to drink? Yeah, exactly. The blood of Jesus. That's what he said. You don't have any life unless you're drinking the blood of Jesus. Our fathers and mothers passed down to us the blood of the sin of Adam. And it's all out there on both sides of the fence. It's all out there. Hear this word, you kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, that oppress the poor and crush the needy, that say unto their lords, bring and let us drink. Well, the Samaritans were Jewish by religion, but not by blood. We need to be born of the seed of God, which Jesus in the parable of the sower pointed out was the word of God. We should be a manifestation of the word of God. So if you're drinking in the political stuff and the patriotism and the warfare, that's what you're going to be. The Lord has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that they shall take you away with hooks and your residue with fish hooks. That sounds kind of like the Lord. They're being taken out of the kingdom. And like the judgment that we just read, it's a pretty good confirmation of that. And you shall go out at the breaches, every one straight before her, and you shall cast yourselves into Harmon, says the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. Oh, gosh. To Gilgal and multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 days, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened. See, it's just leaven. Leaven is, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, that's religion, and of Herod, which is the state, right? It's a leaven. And proclaim free will offerings and publish them. For this pleaseth you, O ye children of Israel, says the Lord. And I have given you cleanness of teeth for all of your cities, and want of bread in all of your places. Has that happened? It just did. Have you noticed? Yet have you not turned unto me, says the Lord. That was a warning, wasn't it? Well, I don't believe it's over. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for the woman, Goldie Hawn, and received by faith at random, Daniel 9 and 27. My finger was on determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What is the sacrifice and the oblation that the beast causes to cease? The beast causes apostates to cease offering up their flesh in the fiery trial. Flesh tastes pretty good, you know. Leaven tastes pretty good. Leaven in bread makes it more palatable, right? But you've perverted it, you see. And that's what they generally do to make it taste good to the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. And upon the wing of abominations, or pinnacle of abominations, shall come one abomination that maketh desolate. Desolate, of course, is not inhabited by God. Desolate. The beast formed in the holy place, right? You call it a holy place? Well, if it is a holy place, Christ will be there. And if people are holy, Christ will be in them. The Word will be in them. But if the political atmosphere of the left and the right, the blue and the red is there, and that's all people are thinking about, well, they've been perverted. They can't come into the image of Christ. And even unto the full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. That's the people who in whom the Lord has departed. Because basically he didn't have room, along with the red and the blue in there. Didn't have any room to live, right? Have you noticed that when you feed on that stuff all the time, that you don't have an appetite for Christ, the Word, so on and so forth? Yeah. Okay, here's another revelation given to Judy Farno on 6/4/20. And we called it Turning Away from the Patriotic News Junkie Spirit. She said, in the dream, I was thinking about Merle and Missy coming. I thought he was coming with her this time and that they were going to stay at David's house. Well, why would the Lord put this in a dream? Well, we know. Missy has been wanting Merle, who goes to an apostate church and is caught up in the news and the politics, to come to David's house. And this probably represents a time when a lot of apostates will turn away from the patriotic news junkie spirit to the Lord and his word in the house of David, the man-child's. That's what I think. Why would this thing be so insignificant to be mentioned in this dream? Well, because we're talking about something that's going to happen that's going to turn people away from this spirit and this warfare that they're not supposed to be in the first place to the Lord. And Judy said, I was going to meet them at the patio for supper. But first, there were these two groups of fish. They were like herring fillet snacks, not a cooked or a breaded type of fish. The Free Dictionary says a definition of a red herring. You know the terminology of the red herring, right? A smoked herring having a reddish color. Something that draws attention away from the matter being discussed or dealt with. So that makes sense. And it is, I would say, giving people an appetite for the political or for the what's happening now, you know, or what can I say to these evil people, or so on and so forth. It's giving it an appetite to think on these things instead of the Word of God and walking as sons of God. Politics and news is a red herring to draw our attention away from the eternally important matters given in the wisdom of God. We were supposed to sample these two different fish before we were to meet Merle and Missy at the patio. For one was red and the other was blue. Oh my goodness. One type of fish was red and the other was blue. And they were at David's house. Meaning this decision, this correction, is for the house of David, man-childs. You know why? Because the rest of them won't receive it. They won't hear it. They don't have wisdom enough to receive it or hear it. And who is it that sits under the David? Who is it that sits under Mordecai? It was the bride, Mordecai, the little man or man-child raised up Esther to be the bride. And she was beautiful to the king. Amen. How do we get that beauty? Putting the Word of God in your heart. It's the thing he respects. It is his very nature, right? So it was on a long shelf table to our right when we come into the house. I sampled both, but didn't really care for either one. That's good. And Don and Merlene also thought that the fish represent people. Yes, agreed, 100%, you know. This is the correct interpretation. And Judy's opinion of not caring for either one, the red or the blue, is correct because our allegiance is to neither the Republican or Democratic beast parties. Both of these systems are lost people. And I believe that the righteous have little interest in politics and don't care about too much about what's going on out there because they have their total faith in God. And what little they do know about what's going on, they use it as a matter of prayer, right? So they have little interest in politics since the kingdom of God rules over the demons that run these parties. You say, oh, David, the Republicans are so much better than the Democrats. It makes no difference. There are good people and bad people in the world that are all lost. You know what I mean? It makes no difference. We know that the Lord has chosen this Cyrus administration to conquer the left-wing communists. But one day it'll be the other way around. Did you know? God just gives you what you need. And if you're not walking in him, you might need those communists. They're coming back, by the way. Let me tell you, they will come back. They will be killing people around the world in the middle of the tribulation period. I'm talking about God's people. So you better listen now, right? Yep, he's chosen this administration to give us a little bit of time. to rebuild the kingdom. And that's what we're trying to do here, to rebuild the kingdom. But we're to worship or to pledge allegiance to neither of these. She said, I asked the Lord tonight for a verse for this dream, and I got Job 35 and 13 in context, Job 35, 11 through 13, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth. How dead on can you get? Yes, the word of the Lord teaches us more than any of the beasts out there, right? The word of the Lord makes us to know Him and makes us wiser than the political news junkies who are addicted to these beasts. These people who are studying the word of God at the expense of the political news junkie spirits, they're coming into the image of the Son of God. The rest of them are wasting a lot of time. If you haven't done anything but waste a lot of time, you don't have time to waste if you want to be in the first fruits and if you want to escape the majority of what goes on in the tribulation period. And maketh us wiser than the birds of the heavens. Yeah. There they cry, but none giveth answer. Yeah, if you're so polluted that you, when you ask God, you ask according to your carnal reasoning, you're not getting an answer. And it says, because of the pride of evil men, surely God will not hear an empty cry like the birds that cry in the heavens, right? He won't hear an empty cry, neither will the Almighty regard it. If there's one thing we need during the coming tribulation, it is for God to hear our prayers. And we have to pray for God's will, not the political red or blue will, or we won't be heard by God. Okay, so here's a third one that we received right here. Warning to avoid the political beast race war. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks, 6/12/20. You know, some of these are dated sometime before. This was only the 12th a couple days ago. The thing is, what's so weird is, it doesn't matter when it was actually given to the person. They send them at the right time. Boom. So I'm putting this all together from things that I just received, you see. And Vanessa said, I received this warning / correction dream. Barry and I were standing in a large room. There were many people of different races, also all standing, like in the protests. They were yelling insults at each other as they were very angry. Have you noticed that? How did they get so angry? They meditated on those things that made them angry. If you meditate on the same things, you will be angry too. And they were against each other because of differences in race. They were, and of course, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. Paul said that. You're not supposed to know anybody by race, by color, by nationality, right? Because we are just one nation in the midst of many nations. And we're just one race in the midst of many races. Come out from among them and be separate. Be a part of God's kingdom, right? And they were against each other because of differences in race. They were not standing very close to each other. And Barry and I were in the right side group. And then I yelled something about how stupid this is. And I, well, you know, it could be that this is stupid. You know, this argument between races, okay? But it may not be the thing that is needed. You see, then I yell something about how stupid this is, and I think it was against what someone had just said. Yeah, because it's really goofy out there. I tell you, that they blame everything on race. And so, as I said before, one criminal died. And then Antifa and all these groups, you know, the Muslims groups and the black groups and so on and so forth, have come together to kill a whole bunch of what? Innocent people concerning the situation and burning down their businesses and so on. So you see, it is stupid. But that isn't what the side needs, who has as much sin as anybody. They don't need to hear that. What they need to hear is what we've got to share with them, and nobody else has it but us. And if we don't give it to them, they're not going to get it. And guess what? When they get it, they're just as sweet as you are. So we know what the cure is. We don't want to get caught into their war, right? Then Barry told me to be careful and that I should not have been so rash. And, of course, you know, people, Vanessa's a very merciful and kind and loving person, but she's filling in a need here by acting out this particular thing so we can know this is wrong, you know. Immediately, two men came up to us, and they were going to beat us up. I knew that you got caught in the war, right? I knew our lives were not in danger, but it was going to hurt. Yeah, that's right. I thought, oh, no, what did I do? And then I woke up. So the left-wing beast party designed this race war in order to turn it against Christians. And the Lord is testing his people to see where our allegiance is, to our kingdom or theirs. We have a much more important message that should not be polluted by getting distracted with these side issues, right? And that's what happens when you read it, you know. Foolishness in, foolishness out, right? The Lord has told us not to get involved in this war, she said. We are of a different kingdom. Yes, we need to figure that out. And I have been guilty of entering into this fight in my thoughts and wanting to say how stupid the people on both sides are being. Yes, that's true. Getting caught up in the political news causes anger and frustration and drags us into this foolish war, right? But I repent of this. And Father, help me to set my mind on things above and not on the things of this world. All this will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Thank you for this warning and correction in Jesus' name. Amen. And I say amen too. Very good correction. I hope everybody's listening today. I asked the Lord for a word for this dream and received by faith at random 2 Chronicles 34 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. So this red versus blue war is going to judge both sides and bring a more physical civil war. And we don't want to be a part of this. But I got to tell you, there'll be a bunch of Christians in there fighting and killing and doing everything the Bible tells them not to do or Jesus told them not to do. And it's all because of what they fed on. And our message is to both sides, and it saves from destruction. Matthew 5 and 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Ooh, wow, the peacemakers. This is not somebody's joining one side or the other. This is the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. And notice, it's the sons that do not get caught up in the divisive issues like the servants who are children do. That's what Paul said. Their servants are the children in Galatians, right? Children do that. We're not supposed to do that, especially if we're in the running to be sons of God, right? James 4:1 says, whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? This is a lust. It's built up because of the things you listen to or read or whatever, you see. God's sons are weak to the weak in order to gain souls for the kingdom of God. We don't care what camp they come out of. It doesn't make any difference. Some of the worst people out there make the best saints, as we've studied before, and we know it's true. I'll share a little bit more on this weak to the weak thing in a moment, but she said, I also received Ephesians 2:15, in context 11-16. Wherefore, remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And what did that? What was in your mind? Yeah. Can you still become alienated from the commonwealth of spiritual Israel? Of course. Because of what you put in your mind. And strangers from the covenants of the promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. He's reminding them of this. You don't want to go back there, do you? Right? But now in Christ Jesus, ye that were once far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. There it is. There's the blood that does the work. The blood of Christ. Glory be to God. For he is our peace. Can you have peace while the world's at war? Of course. It's what you put in your heart, right? He is our peace, who made both one. Uh-oh. Made peace. You put Jesus in there, he makes peace, right? And break down the middle wall of partition. There it is. How awesome. God, through Paul, gave the secret of bringing two sides together. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that in a minute. But look at this. Bringing two sides together. You know what Paul preached? To be weak to the weak. Mm-hmm. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man. So, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body. There it is, bringing people together. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Unto God through the cross. And the cross is for any and everybody that comes. It's in. Of course, they are invited by the Lord. He's the one that draws them to it, and so on and so forth. But we have to preach the true cross, or it's not. If Jesus is not lifted up, he's not going to draw all men unto him, right? Having slain the enmity thereby. Wow, that was a really good confirmation, yeah? And she said, I believe this is saying for us to remember when we were like the world and without hope and without God, we cannot bring these people to Christ if we are taking sides and warring like them. That's true. That's true. Okay, so this subject that I think helps us to learn this is weak to the weak, which wins souls to the kingdom. This is about an email that I replied to a sister. I said, first of all, I'm going to point it out. Brethren, I was once questioned by a dear sister as to why I dealt so gently with a brother who was in an apostate Christian, quote unquote, religion, And my answer may help you to on how to deal with someone who is caught up in false doctrines or false political views, yet appears to desire truth. Anyone can judge, but love will build up and help the one who lacks. And this answer that I gave to this sister, it's all about how to solve religious differences. But it also very well fits bringing peace between political differences. And if we make enemies over these petty differences, we will never get to the important things of the kingdom, which changes people's lives and understandings. And it does it quickly and forever. You see how quickly a person changes their views when they become a Christian. It doesn't matter how far out they are, you know. So I wrote, "Dear sister, I can assure you that few know, as I do, how evil that false religion is. I was a member of it until I was old enough to walk away. And I assumed that my chat with such and such a brother bothered you. Every time I talk with him, though, he learns more about the scriptures and gets hungrier for the word. If I would have spoken against his religion immediately, his defenses would have gone up and I would not be speaking to him at all. This is not God's way of grace. We must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Even a smoldering wick we should not put out. Jesus confronted the self-righteous Pharisees directly without mercy, but he had mercy on the ignorant and the erring who wanted the truth. And Jesus said, since you say you know, your sins remain. And he also said, if I had not spoken unto them, they had not had sin. This man was born again, but he is an infant and knows so little. He needs milk. Soon I will be able to tell him clearly, and he will be able to hear. Many people have made their mind up with comfortable ideas and don't change easily. If you tell them the big picture up front, they will close you out or leave you. Jesus said in John 16 and 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Ecclesiastes 10 and 10 says, if the iron be blunt and one do not whet the edge, then he must put more strength. Then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, wisdom is that sharp edge that causes it to, I don't know if you've ever used a dull axe, but it'll work you to death. It will work you to death. A dull axe bounces out of hard wood. But if you sharpen it so that it enters by a very narrow front and then wider and wider, the wood will receive it. Yeah, in Ecclesiastes 10:11. And if the serpent bite before it is charmed, then is there no advantage in the charmer? That's true. I mean, if you're somebody that doesn't make it easy to get around this person's flesh, their serpent, so to speak, and get to their heart, if you don't make it easy, you're never going to get there. The serpent, the flesh, bites when the charmer is not graceful. And we have to enable people to overcome their own flesh so they can receive the bigger picture. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Paul called it as deceivers and yet true. because we're calming and deceiving their old flesh so that we can get truth in their spirit gracefully. Amen. God's advice for charming is in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Here's Paul's solution for bringing people together. For though I was free from all men, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more. Yep, we have this freedom. We can flaunt our freedom and turn everybody off, or we can submit to their foolishness, be weak to the weak, and gain them. Verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. See, he was putting himself under certain restrictions in order to be acceptable to these people so he could give the gospel to them. And you could go in there and flaunt your freedom and you might lose your head. In verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God. See, because God taught him to do this. Yeah. Just under law is a state of mind that you have to do this in order to be acceptable by God. But Paul learned you have to do this in order to be acceptable by God. And it looks different. See? But under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Amen. This is what it's all about, is being wise, getting around their old serpent, and getting to the heart. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. Yes. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Amen. And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. And remember, it's the good news. It's not the bad news of who these people are that's going to save them. It's the good news that's going to save them. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. So you can go around who they are politically and who they are spiritually and give them the really good news. And once they've got the good news, they can be saved. They can change their mind. They can change their actions. What we've got to do is use what God has given unto us that no one else out there has. Only the sons of God will have the understanding to be weak to the weak. Self-righteousness demands that we be strong to the weak and impulsive. And this same Paul shaved his head and took a vow and circumcised Timothy in order to be acceptable to the Jews so he could share the gospel with them. However, all of these things he preached against to the knowledgeable. He would have been a lousy charmer any other way. Things that he's taught, you're not under these laws anymore. But he put himself under these laws without in his heart being under the law in order for them to see and accept him the way he was so that he could give them something that would change their lives. James 3 and 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. See, here it is. It's peaceable. You can't go out there and win a war by insulting people. It doesn't matter if they're wrong. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. In other words, they can receive it because the edge of the axe is sharp. They can receive it because their serpent has been charmed, right? Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. There it is. You know, if you got a frown on your face and you're out there in a crowd, they know you're against them, right? But you don't have to be against them if you understand that they just need Jesus. So I went on to say, I hope you will understand or at least not judge me in this. I wonder if we would permit as much difference in doctrine in our assemblies as God commands in Romans in order that the young may grow up and that we may learn the ways of peace. And I gave Romans 14:1 on down. But him that is weak in faith receive ye, yet not for decisions of scruples, or as another version says, doubtful disputations. You don't want to find out what somebody believes to dispute with them. I know the King James only people very, very well, and I know when the first thing they want to ask is, what Bible do you use? I try to get around it because I don't want to answer them. I just want to get something truth around. And sometimes they let me get around it and sometimes they don't. But it's for the decisions of scruples. They want to know whether they're going to reject you or accept you, right? So not to argue with them, but to teach them with grace, right? And verse 2. One man hath faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not. So, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. You see, you can even be wrong if you're obeying your conscience. You're where you need to be at that particular time, right? Don't worry about it. Just give them what they can receive now and get them to where they can receive something more. But this is a step-by-step, you know, procedure that Paul was teaching. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest the servant of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. And here's the attitude that you're supposed to have. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. Just because he's not standing, that's not a reason to judge him. If he's doing according to his conscience, and that's where he is, it's like a child learning to walk, right? You can't condemn them, or they might just sit down and not get up again, you know? Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. In other words, it's according to your conscience. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth, eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, unto the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. We know that every day is alike, and we're not under the judgment of the days of the Old Testament because they're all parables that we need to translate when we bring them into the New Testament, right? For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So he's talking about being graceful with people who are ignorant, right? Because God is able to get them there, but you're not necessarily able to do it yourself. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Whether he keeps days, or whether he keeps meats, or whatever, you know, he's not going to get any better unless you're able to charm the serpent and get through to him, or just leave him alone. You can just leave him alone. You're not commanded to correct everybody. People are foolish out there because they're demon-possessed. They don't even know what demons are. And you can't convince them there are demons. So really, you're fighting a losing battle in the flesh unless we learn from God how to get something across that they can accept. A soft answer turneth away wrath, the Bible says. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're not responsible to do anything but obey the Lord. Some people feel they're responsible to go out there and correct everybody, but actually you're just responsible to obey the Lord. And this is part of obeying the Lord right here. Verse 13, Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion of falling. You know, if you go out there to make war, you are going to cause him to stumble. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's right. I don't care if he's wrong. If you go out there with the bad spirit, you're going to cause him to stumble. And Christians should be merciful and graceful with the lost. And somebody was merciful and graceful for us. We didn't learn it overnight. We didn't come to that revelation suddenly in a moment. It takes time to get there. And everybody else, we want them to get there immediately. That's just a judgmental spirit. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, save to him who accounteth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Wow, look at this. If that's not telling you, at the particular place you are, your conscience is what counts. Are you doing what you know is right, what you believe is right? Even if you have to re-educate your conscience along the way with the Word of God so that it tells you the truth, you know. But God accepts people who conscientiously do things that are contrary to the wisdom of God. So just notice that this makes room for the conscience and grace. Verse 15, For if because of meat thy brother is grieved, thou walkest no longer in love. Yeah, you can go out there and say, I can eat anything, because the Bible says, you know, this and that. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. This makes all meats clean. This, he said, making all meats clean. You can know that, but can you get it across to them if they don't trust you? If you're gentle and gracious with them and you give soft answers that turn away wrath and they trust you, they can more easily open up and receive something from you. Think about what you're saying. Destroy not with thy meat him for whom Christ died. He's talking about your freedom to eat any meat you want. It's a doctrine of demons, the Bible says, to command to abstain from meats. We know that. But can you get it across to them? Can you do it gracefully, right? Let not then your good, so they're doing good, or they're speaking good, be evil spoken of. Because it will be. It'll be even evil spoken of if the person can't receive it. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that herein serveth Christ is well-pleasing to God and approved of men. So then, let us follow after things which make for peace. You see, you can start a war, or you can keep the peace. And that entails giving something that somebody can receive. That their serpent is not going to bite you immediately, right? And things whereby we may edify one another, build up one another. Overthrow not for meat's sake the work of God. All things indeed are clean, howbeit it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, even though you're free to do it, right? Nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. The faith which thou hast, have thou to thyself before God. Happy is he that judges not himself in that which he approveth. Amen. But he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. In other words, he's not doing what his conscience tells him. His conscience has to be changed, right? But you can't do that if you offend him immediately. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if your conscience doesn't tell you this is good, you're sinning. But we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So you ought to bear with people that are just wrong on a lot of things. Everybody starts out that way. You know. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. For Christ also pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. And I went on to tell this sister, I said, the little brother or sister should be able to fellowship in peace with the elder brother or sister long enough to grow up in the knowledge of God. And many in these days who consider themselves mature in doctrine do not permit those weak in the faith into their fellowship. Give God time to reveal himself to them. Take them under your wing and be patient with them. The self-righteous and proud do not permit differences of opinion. See, that's the way the faction is they don't permit. They're just like the leftists out there screaming on the street. They don't permit differences of opinion. That's that communist spirit that's there, that Satanist spirit. He wants to force everybody. Force. We need to remember that we did not get where we are or learn what we learned overnight. And we're not talking about immorality or heresy here. That has to be dealt with as Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 5:11. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, no, not to eat. And then I wrote a P.S. to this sister, and I said, the brother spoken of above is now delivered and spirit-filled. Glory to God. And that's what happened, too. Exactly what I was talking about there. Isn't God great? And now I want to share this with you. This is an older revelation. Not that much older, but it's about addictions and distractions that kill the whole man. And in this, the bride who was weak was saved by the word. And this was given to Eve Brast, 12:21-19. 2019. And this is a most important revelation for this time. I believe that God had Eve act out a warning for those who are contending for the bride and even life itself. This will help many to repent of distractions, of addictions to internet, politics, hobbies, sex, excitement, etc., so that they can concentrate on running the race to bear fruit before someone takes their crown and they are delivered over to the dragon. He said, I would like to share a recent experience that led to God giving me this dream. I hadn't realized how far I had gotten away from the foundational teachings that endeared me to UBM until recently. And this was, of course, in 2019. And when I first came to this ministry, I fed on Sovereign God and the Real Good News series for months and months. And it gave me a hunger and an excitement to read the Word, which I had never really understood before listening to the panoramic Bible studies and reading Hidden Manna for the End Times. But slowly, through the years, because of persecutions and trials of my faith, that I had failed and listened to the voice of discouragement, I found myself worn down, kind of on autopilot, just going through the motions with faith and belief. I said I believed for different situations and I knew all the right things to say, but deep down the fears and doubts were screaming all the what ifs to my mind. Over time, the enemy came in very gradually and with great stealth to steal all the wonderful foundational truths that I had started out with. This put my spirit man into confusion and made me weak to fight against the wiles of the devil. You know, people fall away from truth that they once valued very highly for the same reason. What they let go on in their mind, they fall away from the truth. They taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away. It's impossible to renew them unto repentance, Paul said. So it can kill. It can kill your whole man, spirit, soul, and body. It can kill. Meditate on things that stir up your flesh, and you will die. Feed your spirit man, and you will live. There's only one food the spirit man can live on, and that is the bread of the Word of God and the blood of the nature of Jesus. That's the only thing that will give you life, according to Jesus himself. These things that will give you life is the things that you need to feed upon. Recently, I had been struggling with my flesh over the entertainment of watching YouTube videos, which was eating up all of my spare time. Oh, I want to tell you, that's an addiction I bet that Christians are in trouble with. But it doesn't have to be YouTube videos. It can be things that are written. It's political ideas and what's wrong with the left and, you know, just spending all your time on anything other than the Word. It doesn't matter. It's just a distraction. I mean, but some things stir up your flesh to fight and to war, and to be angry, and to give in to lusts of the flesh. And this political thing is just like a religious thing. It can stir you up and head you off in the wrong direction, reaping bad fruit and destroying your life, destroying the Christ who is in you, right? I was addicted and no longer in the Word or feeding my spirit man to keep him strong and defended against the enemy. It's true. You will lose your defense studying all this garbage out there. Oh, even these deep revelations about what really, who done it, you know, and all that stuff. You know what? It will just rob you of your spiritual life. And people, there's some, a lot of Christians are out there studying who done it. Who done it? And why was it done? And, oh, what's the hidden revelation of this and that, you know? It's got control over your mind. Pretty soon, the Word of God is dull. And you don't have any excitement when you read it. This demon of excitement is what you feed on. You've got to be excited like a dope addict, right? You've got to have excitement or else you're not going there. So when the Word of God gets dull to you because it's not exciting, you're not finding out all the deep revelations of sin, you know, which absolutely has no eternal value. And you wonder why you get burnt out and the demons start coming in and taking over and why your flesh starts falling all apart and on and on and on. What is God saying? You're going the wrong way. All right? So she got the revelation that my conscience knew that I hadn't been a good steward of my time. So always follow your conscience. Your conscience has been educated that the Word of God is utmost and seeking first God and His righteousness is number one. Seeking first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't work on human principles. You can know all of the revelation about what's bad with the left and parts of the right, as they say. And split hell wide open. I knew I was in a battle with my flesh. First, I moved the YouTube app to the last page on my phone screen, hoping that it would give me enough pause to reconsider getting on it and wasting time. But that didn't work. It only took a second to flip over. So that's kind of like the law, you know, the law. Okay, I'm going to put this over here. But the law doesn't deliver from sin, does it? No. It just tells you thou shalt not. That's all. It only took a second to flip over to the last screen page and click the app. This really frustrated me and caused me to keep falling into condemnation, which wasn't helping the situation at all. You see there, the devil is looking for something, constantly looking for something to condemn you because he knows you can't have condemnation and faith at the same time. And if you don't have faith, you are not justified before God. That's right. It doesn't matter what it is. He might have actually put something in your mind so he could turn around and condemn you. You'd be totally innocent. He just sticks it in your mind and tells you, you did that, you know, and you're condemned because you did that. You thought that, you know. It's your fault. You're condemned. And now you can't go to God. He's professional at that. He's been at it for thousands of years. So if you don't have justification by faith that Jesus took away your sins and hold fast to it, the devil is going to come and beat you up because you don't have any of the benefits of the kingdom without justification or accounted righteous by faith. You don't have the benefits of the kingdom. The devil knows that. He knows how to take away your faith and all of your benefits by condemning you. If you sit there and listen to that garbage instead of repenting and confessing your sins, you know how simple it is? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See how simple it is? Then what do? You turn immediately and confess him. Confess your sin, then confess him, which is the deliverance from the sin. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He took away your sins. And now it's no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. And you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You have his faith now. You have his righteousness now. And if you have sinned, you confess it and you go immediately back to confess him and his promise. And you know how easy it is to forget this? The devil just steals it from your mind. It is so simple how to stay in right standing with God. Be humble enough to confess your sin and be humble enough to confess him. So she said, this really frustrated me and caused me to keep falling into condemnation, which wasn't helping the situation at all. I finally got so sick of the battle that I deleted YouTube from my phone altogether. Yes. Yeah. What did Jesus say? If you got to cut out your eyeball or cut off your hand, you know, do it. It's better to enter into heaven than have all these extensions. And since I had been so addicted to watching it, I would still, out of pure habit, pick up my phone to get on YouTube. Then I would realize it was no longer accessible on my phone, and then spiritual sanity would kick in. And I was able to go and read the Word, or spend time in prayer, or listen to the foundational teachings that are now strengthening my faith and belief again in the promises of God for my life and the lives of my family members that I now have a renewed faith for. You see there, no one lives unto himself or dies unto himself. Everything we do affects the people around us. And if you're caught up in all that garbage, you're not giving your family members what they need either. And they're liable to die. Yeah. But you definitely will die if that's what you feed on rather than the Word of God. There's no way you can manifest sonship that way. Jesus wasn't politically corrected or connected. You know, Jesus noticed how little interest he had in politics. Did you notice? Yeah. Some people tried to point out Herod to him. He wasn't interested. He didn't go. He didn't go for it. I finally feel like my spiritual life and relationship with the Lord is being restored. And again, this was in 2019. And I don't even miss the Dog Whisperer videos and the America's Got Talent videos, among others, and at all. It was all just useless distractions, a plan of the enemy to render me ineffective for the kingdom in many areas of my life, in building up my most holy faith. Amen. So good, so true. Well, back then Eve told me of this problem with distraction that was adversely affecting her faith and her joy and her health. And when she realized this, she began to listen to the real good news again. And after that, I noticed a great difference in the brightness and revival in her. Her faith and confession became powerful. She said the constant pain and health issues had ceased too. So you see that? There's health benefits. Yeah. Because we're talking about a failure of the whole man here. When you feed on something besides the Word. The Word is our food every day. They were to go out in the wilderness and gather the manna every day. And even when they tried to save it up for a day, it bred worms. So that meant that what they didn't use for that day got wasted. And what is God saying? That every day you need to put the Word of God into your heart. Otherwise, you have wasted that day. So she said the constant pain and health issues had ceased too, and this came to an end at Christmas time, 2019. Now, naturally speaking, she doesn't believe in Christmas any more than I do, but this has a symbol here, okay? And the manifestation of her personal man-child, Christ in her, returned. Amen. So, but you have wasted that time. The Bible says, redeem the time. Yes, you may receive again Christ in you, but he could have been growing through all of that time that you wasted. Right? And you will face the trials anyway. And you're not going to overcome any trials without Christ in you or the Word of God in your heart. You're not going to overcome them. That's why it is so different than all of the political things out there in the world. And I'm going to share her new dream, a newer dream. But first, I want to share E's prophetic dream of this weakening and strengthening of the bride body from a year ago. Eve prophesied in 2018 in a dream of this time of weakness in the bride, and then being strengthened by the Word to re-manifest Christ the man-child in her at a future Christmas time in 2019, which we now see has come to pass. Pretty cool. And this is Eve about the bride body weakened, but recovery was prophesied through the teachings. And this was 8:8:18 that she wrote this. I dreamed this morning that our local UBM assembly was meeting on an upper floor of an apartment building. Well, an apartment building represents a body of houses built together into a holy temple in the Lord, as Ephesians says. Yeah, apartment building. We were all sitting in a large circle, singing a cappella praises to the Lord. David was sitting along the wall where the entryway led into the living room, and Michael was on his left, and I was on his right. I believe she was a type of the last Adam's bride, Eve. Eve, of course, was the bride of the first Adam, and Jesus Christ was the last Adam. So she's a type of that, right? In the natural, as types are. So I was wearing a beautiful dress with a floral pattern on it. And I believe this is a symbol of the fruit and the beauty being borne by the corporate bride body at this time. But I was very weak and thin from fighting a long illness. I believe I represent a corporate body, sickness of persecution, faction, witchcraft, attacks, and because the spiritual man was weak from malnourishment of the Word, I was recovering as a body of people. I couldn't stand or move around for very long because I had to sit down and rest. this tiredness had overcome her. Tiredness in the spirit because of malnourishment, right? And your spirit man gets that way. You get weak, you get tired because you're distracted. You know, I know that we all have things in our life that we're responsible for. Mamas have to take care of their babies. Daddies have to go to work quite often. All these things in order to keep up our natural life. Of course, some people have made a race out of this. You know, I mean, we got to get ahead. We got to get money. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. All this is a means to an end. That's all. That's it. The natural life is a means to the end for the spiritual life. So what's important to us should be what we're maintaining our life on. You know, I was climbing the ladder when I worked for Exxon many years ago. I was good at what I did. I liked doing what I did. And people noticed that, and I was promoted, and I enjoyed all that. I came to know the Lord, and I realized none of this has eternal value. I came to discover what was really the hunger of my soul, which was to know Jesus Christ. And to know his voice and to recognize him, this was important. I used to be a real overtime hog when I was working at Exxon in the beginning. I was, you know, I worked a lot of overtime. I made a lot of money working overtime, time and a half on Saturdays and double time on Sundays. And so I made a lot of money. And then I realized, this is not important. I had all my toys. And when I came to the Lord and I couldn't do anything but read the Word of God, I looked at all these toys gathering dust and I said, what am I hanging this stuff around here for? You know, I got rid of it. My mind changed. This has no eternal value. I changed my mind by the grace of God. He changed my mind by the grace of God. And, you know, you can go right back to those things. You know, when my children came along and my boys wanted to learn how to work on things and all that, you know, I taught them. I wasn't personally interested in it, but I knew they were, and I knew that it was, you know, part of growing up. So I taught them things, how to work on mechanical things and so on and so forth. And they all went out there to become different kinds of mechanics and computer experts and whatever, you know. They all went out there to do that. But it was actually a little bit of a burden to me to go back and do something that I used to love. I was into racing, and I was into building choppers, and I was into just, you know, I had gun collections, and I just was into a lot of things. Suddenly, this stuff didn't matter. I knew it wasn't eternal value. It was a total waste of time to me, you know. So God can turn a person around quickly, but it's the gospel that does that. You see? The gospel does that. And then we're all about eternal things. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only hope of glory. Christ the Word in you, the only hope of glory. We're all about that. And I was all about that. Just couldn't get enough of it. Got rid of my TV set. Didn't care nothing about it. We never looked at it. And got rid of my toys, my dirt bikes, my race bikes, my choppers, my race car, on and on and on. My camping van and all things that I made, and moving up automobiles I traded and fixed and repaired automobiles and stuff like that. I just had a lot of things to do. But it was all worthless suddenly. And I wasn't strong in the kingdom until I picked up the Bible and couldn't put it down. That's still the thing that makes you strong today in the kingdom. Otherwise, you go right back there in under that rock you crawled out from under, you know. And if you feel yourself sliding back, you know what the problem is. And this political thing is not going to do anything but take you out. Or the YouTube thing, or any other thing that's similar. You know, it'll just take you out. If your spiritual man is malnourished, what can you do? So she said, I couldn't stand or move around for long before I had to sit down and rest. And David and Michael had to help me by each holding my arms for support when I needed to stand or walk. So people that were strong in the world will have to help her, you know. Representing the teachings, I believe, from the Word through us strengthening the bride. She said, but I was slowly regaining my strength day by day. So David and Michael helped me back up, and we all held hands and walked in a circular clockwise direction. Well, I think this means time going forward into the future, right? And this prophecy was in 2018, but it spoke of Christmas time 2019. And we sang silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. And we thought that this symbolizes the time of the man-child's birth in the bride, the city of God, when gifts are given. No, we don't believe Jesus was born at Christmas time, but God uses things that are known about out there to make parables, and he did it with this. I became tired and had to go sit down, and I thought, Christmas time? Yeah, right. The bride recovers from weakness with the help of teachings at this Christmas time. And that's what happened. The prophecy was fulfilled. So, saints, run after Jesus. You don't have time to do anything else. There's a great tribulation coming for the people of God. It is for the people of God. It is to drive them to Him. It is to cause them to see the power of God once more for the sake of those that are inheriting salvation. They're going to see what the Word can do in people. And many are going to flock out of these dead, waste of time religions and politics and everything else in order to run quickly for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't get left behind. This is what we're called to. Our calling is to partake of the benefits of Christ and walk in sonship, not as children, all of our lives. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will let this teaching stay with the people. Let them begin to take correction concerning these distractions and run after you, Lord, and seek your word, Lord. Lord, let it be. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon your people as I know you plan to do. And draw them back into your word and the truth that makes strong the spiritual man. and causes Christ to walk in them. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for your great mercy, Lord. And we're asking, Father, that you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Because this is what salvation is. It's not rules and regulations. It's working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And the Word of God shows us your pleasure, Lord. We want to be well-pleasing unto you. Give us the gift of death to self and being well-pleasing unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you so much, saints, for joining us today. And God be with you and bless you in the truth. Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.